This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 10th day of July 2015. It's USDA report day. This morning, the WASD numbers showed 1.779 billion bushels of corn will be left at the end of this marketing year and 1.599 billion by the end of next year. The average corn price over the coming season by USDA expected to be from $3.45 to $4.05. The average cash price for soybeans, $8.50 to $10, with ending stocks this year of 255 million bushels and next year of 425 million. We'll divine what those numbers mean during today's closing market report. Daryl Good will be here, and so will Mike Zuzlow. He, of course, is with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
And the way the numbers finished up in Chicago on this report day, July corn was up 6 cents at $4.27 and a quarter, September at $4.34 and 3/4 up 6, and December at $4.45, that finished 6 cents higher. March contract at $4.54 and 3/4 up 5 and 3/4, and next year's July at $4.63 and a quarter up 6 and a quarter for the afternoon. Soy complex finished the July beans 10.43 and a half up 5 and 3/4. August at 10.32 up 5 and 3/4. November beans at $10.22 and a quarter, 6 and a half higher, and the January at 10.28 and a quarter up 6 and a quarter. Bean meal up $2 for the day. The bean oil finished 4 cents higher at 32.31. Soft red winter wheat at $5.81 and a half up 9 and a quarter cents in the July. The hard red at $5.57 and a half down 7 and a half cents. Live cattle futures finished the nearby August at $147.47 and a half. That was a dollar lower for the day. October down $1.47 and a half at $150.32, 32 and a half cents per 100 pounds. Feeder cattle down 20 at $211.55 in the August. September at $209.97 and a half. They finished 25 cents lower. Lean hogs on the day. July contract, $79.10, up 37 and a half cents. The August, $73.72 and a half, up 45 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit our website. You can find all of the numbers from the USDA reports posted there right now, including an update that you'll hear momentarily from Daryl Good. You can come back and listen to that anytime you'd like. It will ag.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's ag programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.
In the outside markets for the afternoon, August crude oil is 10 cents lower at this hour at $52.67 a barrel. Ethanol futures at $1.65 and 4 cents are a penny higher. Gasoline trading 2 8 cents of a cent lower at $2, a penny and 6 cents. And heating oil for the day at $1.73 and 8 cents per gallon is up 2 tenths of a cent. Natural gas at $2.77 and 7 cents is a nickel and a tenth higher. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is currently up 244 points at 17,695. The U.S. dollar at 96.175 is down 0.613. And gold futures for the day at $1,160.25 are a dollar higher for the afternoon. The weather forecast for the Urbana-Champaign area this evening says we'll have a 20% chance of showers, some thunderstorms. Those will come after 4 a.m. actually in the morning. It'll be partly cloudy with a low of 60 degrees overnight on light winds. They'll be variable. Tomorrow, a 30% chance of rainfall and thunderstorms, mainly after 8 in the morning, mostly cloudy, a high of 85 tomorrow. Winds will be out of the south-southeast and turn to the south at 5 to 9 miles an hour. And Saturday night will continue with the rainfall, a 60% chance across the area, mainly after 8 in the evening, mostly cloudy with a low of 68 on Saturday evening. Sunday, showers and thunderstorms with a high of 88. We'll have a 60% coverage amount. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll, of course, hear from the Illinois State Water Survey.
Agricultural programming on WILL is made possible by Farm Credit Illinois, lending support to generations of farm families. Whether a young farmer or a seasoned grower, Farm Credit Illinois offers financial products and services geared specifically to the agricultural community.
Daryl Good, ag economist at the University of Illinois, now joins us to take up this morning's USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate Reports. Can you run us through the numbers to begin with?
Yeah, there are a lot of numbers to go through here, Todd, because we're looking at both old crop and new crop projections. Taking a look at corn first, I think the big surprise in the report is that USDA did raise their projection of corn consumption for the current marketing year by nearly 100 million bushels and taking that out of their forecast of year-ending stocks. So while not tight, we see a further tightening of those stocks. On new crop, basically, USDA went with their June yield forecast. The June acreage survey on the supply side gives us a slightly smaller production estimate than we were looking at in June. But they also trimmed just a little bit their projection of consumption for the new marketing year, citing a little more competition in the export market, and perhaps with slightly higher prices, we might see a little less feed consumption. So, but still, you get year-ending stocks down to about 1.6 billion bushels. Soybeans, much the same story. USDA increased their projection of consumption for the current year, exports and crush, and of course, as we expected, also bumped pretty strongly the residual category of soybean consumption to reflect that surprisingly small June stocks number. We now have their projection of year-ending stocks down to 255 million bushels. That compares to 330 last month. And I keep reminding folks that last fall, the projection was at 475 million bushels. For new crop, again, reflecting the 46-bushel average soybean yield that comes out of their model, the June acreage survey gives us a slightly bigger crop than forecast last month, and year-ending stocks only 50 million bushels smaller than projected last month at 425 million would actually be a year-over-year increase in stocks of soybeans next year, a marketing year average price 925 compared to 1005 this year.
What is likely to change, do you suppose, by the time we get to August?
Yeah, I think there's room for quite a bit to change, obviously mostly on the new crop balance sheet. We'll get the August crop production report that will have the first survey results on yield potential. Those are always a little bit tenuous, particularly on soybeans because of it's early in the growing season. But I think most people expect that yield will come in a little short of what USDA is using in their current balance sheet on both corn and soybeans. And then importantly for soybeans, we'll have the resurvey on acreage, plus any additional acreage information that's picked up in the crop production survey. And the number I will be looking at there, in addition to the planted acres, will be how much abandoned acres might we expect for the new crop, given the wet weather we've had. So I think the production supply side of the balance sheet has the potential to change quite a bit moving forward over the next 2 months.
Do farmers have anything to take action on after this USDA report?
You know, I think they're, given the price strength that we've had in soybeans dating back to the end of June with the acreage and stocks number, clearly on old crop, farmers, I think it goes without saying, need to get things cleaned up, and the market's given them an opportunity to do that at somewhat higher prices, even though in many areas basis levels have weakened a bit as farmer selling has, in fact, picked up. On new crop, clearly more difficult to make a decision there. I would point out that in Illinois markets, for example, prices are currently above the high end of the projected range that USDA put out today. We're over $4 corn and over $10 soybeans for harvest delivery in many markets. So you might argue that price being above the high end of projections, prices being above the spring insurance price, there may be some marketing to do. But I think most people are going to be a little cautious how aggressive they want to get. because of the possibility that the balance sheet will tighten up a bit further from what we're looking at right now. So you can't argue with some sales, but I think caution at this point.
Thank you so much.
My pleasure.
Darrell Good, Ag Economist, here on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. You can see his thoughts most Mondays after the noon hour on the Farm Doc Daily website. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Now let's check and see how the market reacted to the USDA World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates with Mike Zuzulo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. Mike, I know you want to do this, so you probably ought to tell us your top three takeaways from the report this morning.
I felt like corn probably got the best from a standpoint of the U.S. and the world numbers as far as price supportive news, Todd. The market needs to probably start assuming less than a 1.5 billion bushel carryover going forward, heading into the August report, especially if the weather remains unchanged. And I think that was a key element to the trade and probably the biggest reason why we saw on the close corn hold on to almost all its gains and close at the best level since July 2nd. Of last year. So some really nice weekly chart technical observations can be made. We're a bit overbought on the daily chart, so that's something to watch in case we get any kind of negative news on weather or get negative news on the crop progress report Monday. Second would have to be what we talked about midday. Wheat got the worst numbers. I was hoping and thinking that wheat would be getting a big production decline. It did get a production decline from Europe, but USDA came in with roughly 12 million tons of wheat out of nowhere from beginning stocks, from reduced usage, from the 14-15 crop year. So U.S. ending stocks went up 3%, world ending stocks went up 6%. We're back to a 30% stocks-to-use ratio. So that's something that's going to have to be managed. Number three, and the biggest wild card going forward, in my view, is soybeans were the most confusing. Super tight, old crop stocks. But then USDA came in and held their 85.1 million acres planted, and I really question their methodology on those new crop acres, especially given, and you had touched upon this as well earlier in the midday comments, that holding those acres up that high, maybe they could have brought down the yield because we were talking about lower acres but maybe raising yield. Well, they kept the acres high and kept the 46 bushel yield. I don't know how they could do that when you've got about 3.5 million acres of planted beans not planted, and you've got about 6 million acres of beans not emerged. So you've got about 9.5 million acres with problems. That's about 11% of the bean acreage. So I think you might have to start dealing with a situation where 2 to 3 bushel to an acre acreage yield slip, 2 to 3 bushel per acre yield slip could add up to be, you know, roughly 250 million bushels of ending stocks being wiped away. And how's the market going to deal with that? So that's the biggest wild card to me.
Yeah, so 250 out of what, 425 are the expectations. So we'd
exactly
be back.
You're talking about half.
Yeah, so you're talking about having that. And we'll start to know those numbers in a month, I suppose, when the August crop production figures come out, because we'll get updated yields, the first yields actually from USDA that they really go out and take. And then we'll adjust acreage again as well.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, the good news going into the weekend is that we could take a lot of the outside macro pressures off this market, the investor demand pressures off this market, if we'd finally get a Greek debt deal. The Greek parliament is the first step. They're supposed to be voting on that at any time now. 7 o'clock their time over there is when their vote takes place. So we'll start to know a lot by tonight, and then Saturday is an emergency meeting with the European Union. So by Sunday night's opening, we should know whether those macro issues are in the favor of more price upside or not in the favor of more price upside.
You know, did the USDA reports clarify anything for you today, or did it just leave the water as muddy as it was to begin with?
I think in the corn it clarified a lot. I think that the downside potential now in the corn is a lot more limited, and I think a lot more people probably after the report numbers came out would agree with that. You still have wheat maybe in control of how high corn could go, but the most negative feature to the market, the beans, in the last 3 to 4 months, maybe isn't going to be as negative a feature here in the next 30 days, depending on the weather and depending on this updated acreage, these acreage numbers you're talking about. So maybe those two can help cancel each other out. I still overall fundamentally like corn a lot more than anything else at this stage of the game because I don't see the premium in the corn that I see in the soybeans.
And it is amazing that we've gone from last year thinking about a 2 billion bushel carryout for this crop year and then a 2 billion bushel carryout for the crop year that we're putting in the ground at this point. And now we're down to what, 1.779 billion and 1.599 billion respectively. That 1.5 is actually pretty low to start a year out with, I would think.
Very much so. And, you know, if it had not been for a good-sized Brazilian crop, I don't think the market would have any problems in the next 30 days going upwards towards that $5-plus dollar level for new crop corn. But between Brazil and between the wheat, you know, that might be a stumbling point, is to get a five handle or try to get a five handle or just underneath it, and then have to really reflect and say, okay, do we have anything that we can trade to push us up any higher than this?
Any final word of wisdom before I let you go?
I would say the livestock numbers on today's report would support maybe a pork and hog rebound. And so I'd be looking for that as we get into the end of the month, especially important now that we're getting to that second half of the grilling season. We're kind of running out of our seasonal holiday buying time frame here. So I'd like to see some hog numbers in the positive territory the next couple weeks.
Thank you so much.
Thanks, Todd. Have a great weekend.
You too. That, of course, is Mike Zuzulo. He's with Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting out of Atchison, Kansas. Joins us on this Friday afternoon edition of the Closing Market Report. There are a couple of items to report in today's agricultural news. South Carolina Republican Representative Tom Rice has introduced a bill in the House that would increase the federal gas tax by 10 cents a gallon. The increase would help, he says, pay for transportation projects across the nation. The measure would offset the gas tax increase with $133 income tax credit that will be offered to drivers to minimize the impact of higher prices at the pump. Rice said of the bill that it moves money from the general fund into the highway trust fund. It would raise the gas tax by about 10 cents per gallon, which would cost the average driver about $130 a year. Well, on the global front, UN's Food and Agricultural Organization reports global food prices have slid to a five-year low. The index of 73 food prices from around the world dropped to 0.9% last month to 165.1 points, the lowest since September of 2009. The figures were released Thursday by the United Nations Agency in Rome. Slipping dairy and sugar prices more than made up for rising grain costs last month. We'll stay on the global front. USDA says a new agreement with Switzerland will expand market access for organic farmers. As of Thursday, organic products certified in the United States or Switzerland may be sold as organic in either country. USDA claims the arrangement between the two nations will streamline organic trade, strengthen organic agriculture, and support jobs and businesses on a global scale. USDA Deputy Secretary Krista Harden stated, "This is another chapter in the success story of organic agriculture, providing new economic opportunities for American producers, choices for consumers, and jobs in rural communities across the country." And finally today, we'll stay with international trade. In a report by the Renewable Fuels Association this week, May exports of U.S. distillers' dried grains, that's the animal feed co-product manufactured by dry mill ethanol plants, surged 23% over April levels. That change marked the second biggest monthly jump on record. But denatured ethanol and ethanol for fuel exports were down. For DDGs, monthly exports to China were at a historic high of 864,777 metric tons in May. Year-to-date exports are 4.5 million metric tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news. One other item for the afternoon. If you've listened to me for very long, you know that from time to time I'll read to you an obituary of importance. These are always of a somewhat personal nature. This one comes Dateline, Mount Pulaski, Illinois, my high school alma mater. Bill Rocks, age 61, passed away yesterday. Bill graduated from Waukegan Township High School in 1972 and the University of Illinois in 1976. Now, that was the same year that the Mount Pulaski Hilltoppers won the Class A state basketball championship under legendary coach and friend of Rucks, Ed Butkovich. Bill taught fifth grade at Mount Pulaski Grade School for many years, and he was the assistant basketball coach with Butkovich for 26 years, head coach for 6 years at Mount Pulaski. Here's why you know the name. Bill Rux was the first seven-footer to play basketball for the University of Illinois. He was a member of the Varsity I and the University of Illinois Alumni Association, and he was elected into the Illinois Basketball Association Hall of Fame. Memorial services for Rux are Monday at the Ed Butkovich Gymnasium in Mount Pulaski. If you'd like, you can make a memorial in his name to the Mount Pulaski High School Basketball Program for a new scoreboard. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on this Friday afternoon. Andy Schaefer is here. He's at the Anderson's Everly, Iowa facility. Thanks, Andy, for being with us. I do appreciate it. I always like to introduce folks and let them tell me something about themselves. So can you give me a little background on yourself, please?
Yeah, I'm actually from the west side of Michigan. So living out here in Iowa for the past year and a half has been a little change, but it's been a good change.
I bet it has. Tell me about crop conditions on the ground where you are.
We're looking really good right now. We are. We caught some rain earlier in the week, about a half inch to an inch right in our draw area, and we got about 50% chance of a rain here tomorrow afternoon in northwest Iowa, and we're... We do not have any complaints about our crop. We're just starting to shoot tassels as well.
Would producers peg this as an excellent crop for both corn and soybeans in the area?
Yes, absolutely.
And so no real holes. Last year you were in one of those areas that had some not great crops. They weren't bad exactly, but they were off some. So this year you're expecting above average then, I suppose, at this time.
Yeah, definitely compared to last year, because last year we got heavy, heavy rain. So the heavier soils, which is majority of our ground, it just did not yield that well. But the sandier soils did really well. They were well over 200, and all the boys on the sandy ground had the best crops ever on their sandy ground. So this year it's a much more normal crop, so we expect the heavier ground to do good, and obviously the lighter sandier soils not to do as good, but we'll definitely take the heavier ground just because it's got so much more potential.
I imagine that experience from last year has folks talking about what they see in the eastern corn belt and what they think will happen with the corn crop here.
Yes, absolutely. And they're paying attention, and you know, it's sort of a blessing for the farmer in our backyard, because they have such good crops and they're watching the market go up. So they're definitely been taking advantage of some new crop sales here the past 10 days.
And what are your basis and bids for the day?
We're 40 under for new crop on corn, and that puts our cash bid at 405. And soybeans, we're 60 under for new crop, and we're 962 cash to the farmer for new crop as well.
And your old crop?
Old crop, we're 37 under the September futures, which is just shy of $4, but puts us at 398 cash. Soybeans were 45 under the August, and that puts us at 987 cash. So
thank
not
you.
Quite $10 yet.
Hey, thanks so much for taking the time with us today.
Thanks.
Andy Schaefer, of course, is with the Andersons. He's out of their Everly, Iowa facility. Back in just a couple of minutes with the weather forecast.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
It's National Pina Colada Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1720, Mrs. Clements invented a method of preparing mustard flour or powder, which was known for a long time as Durham mustard. Up until then, mustard was made into balls with honey and or vinegar and then mixed with more vinegar when needed. Mrs. Clements extracted the full flavor of mustard seed by grinding it in a mill and then using similar processes used to making wheat flour. In 1930, the highest temperature ever recorded in the U.S. was in Death Valley, California, 134 degrees Fahrenheit. In 1920, Edward H. Lull was born. He invented a new kitty litter in 1947. Before then, ashes were often used, but left sooty cat prints all over the house. Lull filled 10 brown bags with absorbent clay called Fuller's Earth and labeled the bags kitty litter. The rest is history. 7 decades later, his company was the largest U.S. producer of cat box filler. In 1989, Mel Blanc died. Blanc was the man of 1,000 voices, including Bugs Bunny, Tweety Bird, Porky Pig, Daffy Duck, and Sylvester the Cat. By the way, Blanc was allergic to carrots. What's up, Doc? And in 1999, Aaron Bunny Lappin died. Lappin was the inventor of whipped cream in an aerosol can. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
This agricultural programming is a production of Illinois Public Media. Please do visit our website at willag.org. That's willag.org. There you'll find all of our agricultural programming from the opening market report to the closing market report and everything in between each and every business day of the year. And Commodity Week, that airs on Friday afternoon on our local radio station at WILL AM 580. Many other stations on Friday afternoon and Saturday morning as well. Always up, usually on Thursday evenings at willag.org, except on special days like when the USDA reports come out on a Friday, as is the case on this particular week. You can find it again at willag.org. Now, here's Jim Angel with a look at today's agricultural weather forecast for the weekend. He's with the Illinois State Water Survey Prairie Research Institute.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Prairie Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. July so far has been cooler and wetter than average. The statewide temperature is 69 degrees, and that's 6 degrees below average. The statewide average rainfall for the month so far is 2.1 inches, which is about double for what it should be for this time of the month. In general, most of the state has received between 1 and 3 inches, while areas in far southern Illinois, south of Interstate 64, have received 3 to 5 inches. As expected, the cool, wet weather has had a negative impact on crop quality, especially in low-lying areas, and is slowing down soybean planting and wheat harvest. According to the National Weather Service, we will finally get back to July-like weather this weekend and next week. Highs on Saturday will be in the low 80s in northern Illinois to the mid-80s in central Illinois and the upper 80s and low 90s in southern Illinois. Highs on Sundays will be warmer still and in the upper 80s and low 90s across the state. That pattern will continue through Tuesday. Temperatures will cool slightly later in the week and range from the low 80s in the north to the mid-80s and upper 80s in central and southern Illinois. There is a 50 to 70% chance of rain on Saturday and Sunday across northern and central Illinois. For the rest of the week, there is a slight chance of afternoon thunderstorms every day. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Our thanks go to Jim Angel for his update of the weather forecast. By the way, if you have not figured out that we do markets and weather as well or better than anybody else, one of the reasons is because of the weather forecasters that join us here at WILLAG.org each and every business morning. Drew Lerner at World Weather Incorporated is on the air at 8:50 a.m. and on our website not long after that. Look for the morning agricultural weather forecast link in the afternoon. Drew joins us on Wednesdays, along with a bevy of four other weather forecasters, including Jim Angel and the folks up at Earthrest Technology, Don Day, and Mike Tenori. It's one of the best agricultural resources on the web and on the radio, willag.org. Oh, by the way, thank you for listening and for supporting our programs.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.